Hello and welcome. You are tuned into the Money Control podcast series FutureWise, where we bring you the latest and upcoming trends in education and career. I'm your host, M. Saraswati, and today we have with us a very special guest, Amit Bansal, founder and CEO at Wisla. Hello, Amit. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Saraswati.
So first of all, I wanted to understand, there is a lot of push among parents to kind of get their children to learn new skills. Things like coding, for instance, have become very popular. But considering the needs, especially at a younger level, would you think that it probably technology skills like coding would be of a must? Or do you think that, something like cognitive skills is what the child really needs?
Right. So Saraswati, let me just backtrack, zoom out and talk a little bit about the purpose of education more so in early years. So if you look at the development of a child, there are three things that we really need to understand what the kids develop when they go to a school or, in early years, what they're supposed to be developing over there. First is some basic knowledge about the environment around us, so whether it's a subject around social sciences or mathematics or pure sciences, they need to understand how the world around us works and understand some or gain some knowledge around that. So now understanding how does the solar system work, how does the body work. So that's what we typically call as declarative knowledge, that something that you need to know, that you need to understand, and you need to imbibe and get that knowledge to be more aware about the world around you, right? And that also includes topics like mathematics, where you need to understand what are fractions, what are decimals, what are whole numbers, stuff like that. So that is all declarative knowledge which you acquire over there. The second aspect is once you've acquired that knowledge, what do you do with that particular knowledge? So that's where typically when we talk about new higher order thinking skills or the cognitive skills that you're talking about, they're largely determining what do you do with that basic information. So, when we are learning also, we could either learn just for information. Let's say if we are learning about a solar system, we can just memorize all the facts about the solar system, all the nine planets, and be done with it, right? When we start applying those higher order thinking skills while learning, we actually start making inferences around that. We start making connections with what we already know about that. And that's where, these higher order thinking skills in terms of comprehension, critical thinking, reasoning, all of those come into play. So there are three aspects to this higher order thinking skills or cognitive areas that we talk about. I'll talk about that in slightly more detail later. So this is the second area. One is the declarative knowledge which you are supposed to acquire from the school, then development of these higher order thinking skills, and third is what we call as soft skills or social skills around us, when we interact with others. So how we manage the environment around us and how do we manage ourselves, so stress management, your own aspirations, your goal management, negotiation with your peers, handling bullying over there. So the soft skills, how do you manage self and how do you manage the environment around you? That's the third aspect of, what you're supposed to be developing. Now, in an online environment, unfortunately, most of the schools ended up just making sure that kids do the first part well over there, which is the declarative part of the knowledge. So they covered the syllabus. The second and the third aspect got really, really neglected in this time frame, especially in the online classes. In offline world also, as a nation, we don't do a very good job of developing these higher order thinking skills. But in online environment, it became even further neglected over there. So what happened, because kids were all trapped at home and, few companies just started projecting coding as a holy grail of saying that, you do coding and you become a Mark Zuckerberg or, you become a Sundar Pichai, right? So all those kind of misleading claims saying that if you just do coding or if you know coding, your kid is going to be the next, big sensation around that. That kind of misleading propaganda, I would say, led parents to start investing in just one aspect, which is coding. And, I have nothing against coding because it does develop some of the logical thinking skills and it's something which gives you a perspective of the world around you, but that's not something which solves all your problem. If you just learn the syntax or, learn how to program, that's not going to solve anything if you don't have the underlying skills of, algorithmic thinking, logical thinking, complex problem solving, analytical reasoning. If you don't have those skills developed, even if you know how to code, you will be a bad coder or a bad programmer all your life over there.
Now, coming to Wiz Club, how is Wiz Club helping build some of these cognitive skills?
Right. So there are three aspects that we focused on. One aspect is how you learn. Second aspect is whatever you know, using how to use that knowledge to solve problems, you know, solve real problems. You know, those problems can be academic in nature or could be real life problems, but how do you go about solving problems? And third is, how do you analyze the world around you and have the capability of taking an independent and critical view of the world around you and eventually make smart decisions around that? So, you know, how you solve problems and how you make or take decisions, these are the three aspects that we focused on. How we went about this entire faculty is essentially, we researched the entire primary or the secondary research in this area of cognitive skill development, and we figured out that there are 36 skills broadly in the area of comprehension, critical thinking, reasoning, logical thinking, creative thinking, and complex problem solving, which form the core of an individual's aptitude. You know, loosely calling it an IQ, but most likely more likely to be falling in the bucket of aptitude, core aptitude around these areas. And these are the same skills, you know, which even a very high complex test like a GMAT or SAT or GRE, you know, they also test you pretty much on these skills only. And in the Western world, where, you know, people have programs for talented and gifted kids, these skills get tested in as young as 4 and 5 year old kids as well. Unfortunately, in India, you know, we don't have assessments around that, which are very popular. But, you know, that's what we want to educate the average parent on, saying that these skills are extremely important. All right. And how we develop that is, on each of these skills, we have developed intervention modules, which take a kid from level X to level X plus one. And we have 8 different levels of complexity mapped to the first 8 years of the cognitive journey of a kid from grade 1 going up to grade 8. So we start with a level mapping test to figure out where the child is. And then based on the existing level, the system recommends the right intervention, which takes the kid from, let's say, level 3 to level 4 on a particular skill. On another skill, the kid might be really very good, you know, could already be operating at level 6. So, you know, move from level 6 to level 7, and another skill could be at level 2 and make the kid move from level 2 to level 3. So all of this is very scientifically designed to make sure that kids keep moving on these skills week after week. And the environment through which we do it, it's a facilitator or a trainer driven class where 5 or 6 kids take that class. The instructor initiates the students on that class, and then they go through that set of 10 workouts, which take them from level X to level X plus one.
But would you think, you know, such programs are also more relevant during lockdown? Because, of course, you know, a lot of children, of course, are studying purely from home and using their computers.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the, you know, that's what I said, that in general, you know, Indian school system has not done a great job of developing these higher order thinking skills. In lockdown, when all the classes have gone online, the complete focus of the school has moved to just completing the syllabus, you know, so they are just focusing on making sure that the 20 topics or 15 topics, they are covered, right? So the focus is extremely, extremely high on online classes, on declarative knowledge. So, you know, I have to cover a topic on photosynthesis, I have to cover a topic on, you know, solar system, and like that. The focus is to just make sure that they end up covering the syllabus, right? And little bit of discussions and these deliberations, which used to happen in that offline environment in the school, that has also stopped, right? Because these online classes where one teacher is, you know, catering to 35, 40 students, you know, even in good schools, 25 odd students, it is impossible to have a meaningful conversation. The only way those classes are being done is, you know, I talk, you listen, right? So in 5 to 6 students, we have seen, you know, maximum going up to 8-9 students in a class, you could still have a meaningful discussion, right? But beyond that, it just becomes a passive listening kind of environment. So in this case, where the school is completely failing to develop these higher order thinking skills, parents have to invest in extra effort to make sure that their kids don't get underdeveloped on these skills, which are extremely, extremely important for kids to, you know, remain competitive and be relevant for the coming generation. Of what the competitive exams as well as the work life is wanting. You know, they, all these studies starting from World Economic Forum to other organizations, they are talking about the importance of these skills in the coming decade, because all the repetitive jobs are going to go away. So unless you develop these skills in a timely fashion, these skills remain underdeveloped for life.
Would there also be kind of, you know, exercises which a lot of these children can do with their parents as well?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there is no one, though, or, you know, though there is not just one method of developing these skills. So I can give you, you know, to the parents some practical tips that they can start practicing. So first is, you know, if you have not been doing that, start doing it. Read with your child, right? So read even if it's a storybook, you know, just read with the child. And when you're reading, don't just focus on facts. Start asking questions saying, you know, what do you think will happen next? Or ask questions like, you know, if we were to look at a different ending to the story, what kind of an ending would you look at? Or who has been your favorite character in this particular story so far? Or do you like this particular character? If you like it, you know, why do you like this character? Or, you know, after reading two or three pages, you can say, okay, you know, let's see what we have read so far. So can you just tell me in two or three lines what we have read so far? These are the skills which typically help nurture these higher order thinking skills. So, you know, like when you are asking that, oh, what is it that we have read so far? That's a skill under cognitive development, which we call as extracting the main idea. Or you ask the question, you know, what do you think this most story was mostly around? You know, what was the story mostly about? Then asking, you know, why do you think author actually wrote the story? Or what was the author trying to teach us? So these are the kind of questions which you can ask the child, or which you should ask the child while reading with the kid. So I would recommend that at the least 2 to 3 times in a week, you know, read with your child, right? Just take any storybook, whatever he or she likes, and read that storybook along with the kid. You know, Joel, don't just delegate saying that, oh, read a book yourself, read with the child. You know, even if you're spending 15, 20 minutes reading that book or a chapter of a particular book, do spend that 15, 20 minutes at the least 2 to 3 times in a week. Second thing which you can start doing is, whatever situations are coming, right, ask for their point of view. You know, so ask them specific questions around saying, what do you think about this? You know, it could be anything, right? Let's say, you know, you are in the kitchen and you end up spilling something, right? So you should ask, you know, what do you think I should have done differently to avoid this accident? So the idea is to make them think, right? Or let's say if the kid has done something, you know, which is an accident, right? Like spilled water or spilled food or something else, right? Again, asking the question, you know, what do you think you could have done differently to avoid this situation? A second thing which you should ask for more frequently is, how do you feel about whatever is the situation, right? So if the kid is saying, you know, oh, you know, I am kind of getting bored, right? So rather than just, you know, responding to that, saying that, oh, just get off my back and, you know, watch a TV or, you know, watch a YouTube video. Just say that, can you think of something which you would like to do to get rid of this boredom? Or let's say if the kid is angry, right? Or, you know, you are angry at the kid, right? And the kid is upset about that. Ask the kid about that feeling, right? Saying that, how do you feel? And what is it that, again, you can do or you could have done to avoid this uncomfortable situation? And some of the times the kid may not be able to answer, you know, in which case you can give that answer after the kid has thought through this, saying that, I think, you know, if you could do this differently, possibly we would have avoided this kind of a situation. So making the kid, or forcing, so to say, you know, the kid to think and have a point of view is the second thing which we should be doing. And why I'm talking more about emotions is, you know, because in this lockdown period, there are a lot of pent up emotions that kids have, which are not coming out, and the kid is uncomfortable just holding those emotions to himself or herself. You know, they don't know how to express. When they were with, you know, kids in the school or, you know, in the neighborhood, they would take that emotion out in one way or the other. You know, they would pick up a small fight, or they will, you know, just run hard and take out their energy out of that. Right now, you know, they're not getting that vent. So it's extremely important for us to encourage them to verbalize their thinking and their emotions around that. So, you know, that's the second thing which we should be actively doing. Third thing which I would say is that whenever you're spending some time with the kid doing, let's say, homework, especially around mathematics, you know, which is a very, very analytical subject, try to give them questions which are new type of questions. Don't just, you know, give them repetitive questions which just take the same 5 steps to keep replicating that. So, you know, give them new kind of puzzles or new questions on a particular topic. You know, so simple thing like, you know, for a grade 2-3 student, you know, if you were to give a question like saying, okay, if we were to write from 1 to 100, how many times would the letter or would the number 3 come, right? So let's think about that. So giving them a situation which is forcing them to think about problem solving from fundamentals is something which is important. You know, ask them on simple things like, okay, you know, if you're, let's say, dealing with some items like food, right? So again, a grade one, grade two student who has some sense on weight, right? You can ask that person saying, you know, how much do you think this plate would weigh? You know, is it going to be 10 gram or 100 gram or 1 kg? Or if there is some medicine over there, you know, how much do you think this tablet would be weighing? So asking them for estimation rather than just knowing the exact answers. So these are few things, you know, which you can do at home without too much of a curriculum around it, which help build that skills of saying, you know, how smartly are you learning? How much are you aware about yourself? And how good are you on solving problems around that? With senior kids, you can even debate some topics like, you know, let's say these elections have happened, right? So you could debate a little bit on that, or you could debate about, you know, any current topic which you see. That's something, you know, which you can start doing with grade 5, 6 students onward. That's again something, you know, which helps them take a critical view of the world around them.
Just one last question from my side. Would you think, you know, there is a possibility where you probably can tie up with schools at a pan-India level and kind of help out at the base itself?
Saraswati, what we are doing is for the segment which is slightly, I would say, underprivileged, you know, we are actually tying up with schools and offering these programs at a fraction of a cost, right? That's our kind of commitment to the social impact. Otherwise, currently the way we see things, schools are currently struggling to just keep the kids engaged on their own curriculum itself, right? So at this point of time, bringing something which is an external program, which involves an additional cost, the schools are not possibly, most of the schools, I'm not talking about everyone, but most of the schools feel that, you know, at this point of time with so much uncertainty, going back to the parents asking for more money is a slightly uncomfortable time to be doing something like this. So they're kind of little wary of introducing new programs. Most of them, again, I'm saying it's not universal, but that's something which we are also actively looking at, you know, with the schools who are open to collaboration. You know, we can help them bring these kind of programs to all the students who are there in the school.
Thank you, Amit. Thanks a lot for those insights.
Pleasure is all mine.
With that, it's a wrap on today's episode of FutureWise. I'm sure you listeners would have gained a lot of insights from this conversation. If you want us to cover any topic or have any comments to offer, please write to us on mcpodcast@nwat.com. For more news, views, and other updates, stay logged on MoneyControl.com. Thanks for listening.